repent and believe in the gospel. Three themes that I'd like to pull out of today's readings and share them with you. And one is acceptance, conversion, and salvation. Now I'm going to reverse the order, and I'm going to start off with salvation for all of us, the purposefulness of Jesus coming into the world. When you take a theological theme like salvation, I might theologically talk to you about the importance of the incarnation and then all of a sudden Jesus' passion and his commitment to it. But try to get the theme across to those who are in kindergarten, first grade, second, third, and fourth. That was my task that I had set before me when I was a brand new priest, ordained and sent to a parish, Margaret Mary, in the north side of Chicago. And I had basically the teachers in religious education as well as in the school. And our theme that we had to use was salvation. Well, immediately what came to mind was what was in our first reading, Noah. And so when I got the teachers together, I said, salvation? I said, I've got it. We're going to build an ark. And of course, they looked at the brand new associate as if he had gone right out of his mind. I said, well, we're not going to build actually a real ark, but what we're going to do is we're going to have a makeshift ark and put it right in front of the altar. Then, I said, we're going to have all the kids from kindergarten through fourth grade all process in and put their animals on the altar. Again, their eyes went big. I said, stuffed animals, stuffed animals. So they're little precious little aspects or little tokens that they love to place them on the altar. So the day came, and we kind of marched around, and then all of a sudden it came time, you know, with the Noah story to put the animals on the ark. And every little child came up, and they placed on the altar with the ark in front, kind of a drawn ark in front, on the altar. Then I was able to ask them a question. I said, what saved the animals? And of course, little kids' hands came up and said, the boat, the boat. I said, yeah, you're right. I said, what was the boat made out of? Another kid, wood, wood. I said, you're right. And it was the wood of the boat that saved the animals and Noah through God's providence, through God's will. Then I was able to point to the cross and say, what's the cross made out of? Well, hand goes up, wood. And it is that, through God the Father's love, that brings us and saves us. So like the animals on the ark that were saved through God's intervention by calling Noah to bring we, following Jesus, who is the Son of God, mount that cross and accept the cross into our lives as an acceptance of God's presence and his love. For God is about life and love. Once we understand that, we move to an aspect of conversion. Once we accept Jesus as Lord into our lives have to change. We have to be different. And see, Lent offers us that opportunity. Most of us, what do? We fall into complacency. There's kind of an acceptance to our routine. Yeah, I go to Mass. Yeah, I pray. Yeah, I do a few good things. But what about the real challenge of living for the Lord? How often do we take those opportunities? And you know, even when the church asks us to do things like fasting, abstaining, asking us to do mortification, asking us to give alms, to do good deeds, to pray, it's asking us to do that in relationship to the Lord. Because sometimes we just do those things. We don't understand that really there's a purposefulness. I love the fact that individuals will do good things for their brothers and sisters. How much more when they understand it's not only for their brothers and sisters, but for Jesus, for his name. And how much more does that push us out to understand that we are witnesses of Christ in this world, in our society, And yet we're called to witness to him and to his love in this world. When we take a look at Mark's gospel, we see kind of a shorthand approach to the 40 days into the desert, don't we? I mean, we're familiar with Matthew and we're familiar with Luke because there is a dramatic confrontation of the devil with Jesus. And we hear the three temptations that are offered to the Lord and the pushback. Here, Mark almost gives us a shorthand. Goes into the desert, does the fasting in relationship to God. And then what happens? Then he comes out and he proclaims the message. What's going on there? What's going on is an acceptance. Jesus has accepted the mission that God the Father has given to him. Jesus has accepted the mission. So Mark is telling us immediately he's gone into the desert to basically be confronted by God, by the temptation to pull away from the mission, as every one of us here has experienced in this world. God's not number one. What is? And we find out that that's a pathway to destruction, to death, to sin. But if God's number one, we find that everything we do, even those struggles, even those sufferings, all of a sudden find themselves rooted in a relationship to God's love. And then all of a sudden our eyes open up and we're aware that we're being used as an instrument, even during the most difficult times that we experience, loss of loved ones, struggle with relationships, the inability for the world to hear the voice of Jesus through those things that we know are being taught and preached. It's that understanding of that acceptance of the mission. And we know that Jesus accepted that mission. He comes right out. He says, no, this is the God. There is no other God but my Father. And I fulfill this mission by proclaiming it. That's the challenge for every one of us when we're confronted with those challenges in our lives that pull us away, that tell us not to accept God as a priority, as a central focus for everything that we do. No matter what status in life, no matter what situation we're in, God is that priority. And we have been given this task by him to fulfill in faithfulness our relationship to him. Now, I've said a couple things, you know, in terms of faith. So we're talking salvation, we're talking about conversion, turning one's life again over and over and being challenged to come into a relationship with the Lord, and acceptance of the mission. Well, along with the acceptance of the mission is the rejection of those things that are not godlike. And to understand that God will not be for something and against something at the same time. The reason I mention that is because, especially during this time, when we see the atrocities in the name of religion being manifested in our world, we have to understand and we have to be able to say, that is not of God. Why? Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate revelation for all of us, lets us know and understand that we worship, we know, and the truth is that this is a God of love and life. So it's not a God of hatred and death. And when we see any action being done in the name of God that is contrary to that, we have to reject it. And we have to say, this is not anything that has to do with God or true religion. For religion brings us and binds us closer to a God who is, as revealed by Jesus, and who we know is a God of love and life. So now at this time, when our world is confronted with terrorism, with acts of violence that are done in the name of religion, We reject it. We reject it and remain faithful to the revelation that Jesus has offered to us, the truth. This is a God of love and life. And why is that important for us, especially at this time? Because we remind ourselves of the importance of the value of the faith that's been gifted to us. We remind ourselves of that. So during this period of time, during Lent, we take the opportunity to realize the great gift that we have. That gift is the ability to worship, the freedom to pray, and the ability to be a part of the discussion of faith and the direction of our society. When I've been up here before and I've talked about protecting the freedom of religion and the freedom of the expression of religion, part of my passion about that is that I know in a country like ours, which cherishes freedom, there's also a complacency about that freedom. We take it for granted because we can use it, we don't use it, we can go to church, we don't have to go to church. But we must remember that those who are committed to faith, that there are those in the world and have been, even though we don't like to hear this, that have been, because of their faith, Christians, Jews, Muslims, have been attacked and hurt because they're believers in the God who is a God of love and life. During this time of Lent, let us appreciate our ability to be drawn closer into the God of truth, life, and love, and understand our need to witness to the world that truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.